Hello, and welcome to SAE International's podcast series, where we focus on technologies and trends in the mobility industry. I'm your host, Courtney Howard, editorial director and content strategist in SAE International's Aerospace Product Group. Today, we're discussing advanced manufacturing, specifically additive manufacturing, also commonly known as 3D printing, with Dr. John Hart, Associate Professor of Mechanical Engineering, Director of the Laboratory for Manufacturing and Productivity, and Director of the Center for Additive and Digital Advanced Production Technologies, or ADAPT, at MIT. His research group, the Mechanosynthesis Group, aims to accelerate the science and technology of advanced manufacturing in areas including additive manufacturing, nanostructured materials, and the integration of computation and automation in process discovery. At SAE International, we've been talking about additive manufacturing for quite some time, with technical papers, books, articles, standards, and more available on SAE.org, SAE Mobilis, and SAE International's Advanced Manufacturing Knowledge Hub. You bring a unique perspective to the conversation, Dr. Hart. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Now, to start off, how is additive manufacturing a transformative or disruptive technology?
Well, we've been using many of the additive manufacturing or 3D printing processes we have today for, you know, arguably decades. You know, some are as old as 30 years. And as a result, we have a pretty good idea of what the value drivers are. For instance, enabling more complex designs, reducing or eliminating tooling, giving us the ability to enhance performance, reduce weight, combine mechanical functions with other functions such as dissipating heat, and so on. There's actually a laundry list of pieces of value you can capture when you think about 3D printing a part or a product. But moreover, I think the transformation really comes in using the emerging capabilities of additive manufacturing to rethink product development cycles. And what I mean there is, if we imagine that in the near future we will be able to use additive manufacturing to make production parts, and I'm not saying additive is going to replace machining, casting, injection molding. I think it's all about adding a tool to the box. But when we can do production grade additive manufacturing, we can think of how the product lifecycle changes with additive manufacturing as a primary production technique for one or more components of high performance products, whether it be a single bracket for use in a car or an airplane, or entirely rethinking the design of a turbocharger or a jet engine, where additive manufacturing becomes the method for making most of the parts. And those implications, I think, are really profound when you step back and realize all the financial and human and logistical resources that are committed to manufacturing. There's something really elegant about what additive brings in establishing a digital transformation.
That's fantastic. What are you working on specifically related to additive manufacturing?
At MIT, I like to think that we sit in a unique and interesting position, and that's between research and education and the marketplace. And I think additive is all about a fast cycle of those three. So more specifically, I teach courses to undergraduates and graduate students and also professionals. I lead a research group, which is presently 25 to 30 individuals working on many aspects of additive manufacturing, material, design algorithms, machine designs, and also we engage with industry quite a bit via sponsored research, via just having a broad network of industry partners through our new center ADAPT, and also I have some entrepreneurial interests, especially in metal 3D printing.
Oh, that's great. And speaking of that, can you go a little bit into your background and your experience with additive manufacturing?
Yeah, so I've been in manufacturing for I guess, about 20 years since I was an undergraduate at the University of Michigan and grew up in the Detroit area, you know, in the shadow of the automotive industry. But I only got into additive manufacturing 5 or 6 years ago. There was, frankly, a day when I was given the opportunity to teach a new course in our department to our master's students in manufacturing when I became a faculty member at MIT. And I had the idea to put together a course on 3D printing for this group of students who is studying manufacturing in depth. And that was a way that I taught myself the field. I learned what some of the important problems and opportunities were and was able to reflect that upon my background, which was in materials processing and mechanical design and manufacturing overall. And that continues forward to this day. And, you know, many things we've started here at MIT, courses we've created, research we've done, and relationships we've built. And I'm just so excited on a daily basis about what the future holds, and that it's a great opportunity to create, you know, new technology and hopefully bring it, you know, bring value to the marketplace.
That's great. Now, are students as excited about additive manufacturing as you are? You know, are you finding a lot of engagement?
Yeah, for sure. I see it in many ways, right? First thing is if I go to a room full of undergraduates. So in the fall, I teach the biggest manufacturing class at MIT that talks about all manufacturing techniques, including 3D printing. If I ask them who's used a 3D printer before, everyone raises their hand immediately. So everyone has done desktop 3D printing. If I say who's done metal 3D printing, maybe it's one or two or three who've maybe done metal 3D printing at a summer internship at a company. But they really start to see the idea that if additive is a tool that you have not only in the prototyping and design process, but in the production process, you think differently about how you design the part, what are the manufacturing constraints, how do you scale up, and so on and so forth. The other comment I'll make is that I see 3D printing happening across disciplines, right? It's a tool to do everything from make a prototype clip to hold your sample on the microscope if you're a biologist, to something that drives forward the fundamental, you know, principles of metallurgy in material science, to thinking of supply chain and logistics implications, or how to evolve, you know, the creative design and construction of buildings. You know, it's really exciting. And for those and other reasons, I really feel that we're in the early stages of a lot of transformation.
That's great. What else is needed to help facilitate the transformation?
So two of the most immediate things to me are education and quality control. I like to say that imagine we froze the technical capabilities of additive manufacturing today for, say, 5 years. The industry would still grow rapidly as we learn how to use the technology in valuable ways, and we establish the understanding of the technology in a manner needed for quality production. Right? One of the greatest barriers to broader adoption is knowledge. Having more engineers able to design parts for and with additive manufacturing, and also the general topic of qualification. How do I know that the part I'm going to get out of a 3D printer, if I've determined that there's a valid business case, will have the specifications, the performance that meets my targets? I think there's no question that at its core, the additive processes we use today, full spectrum, are capable of achieving that performance. But it's the aspects of their integration in a production system and their ability to produce parts at volume with consistent characteristics that is still lacking. And it's sort of, I think, an all hands on deck thing. There's not one solution to it. It's cooperation across the industry, you know, from materials to machines to software to feeding back on, you know, the engineering process.
You brought up material science. You know, do you find that is lagging behind hardware, or are there other impediments to more widespread adoption and use?
I don't think material science is lagging behind. I think there's a lot of great development and innovation in material science for additive manufacturing and enabled by additive manufacturing. And some people say that additive is kind of a dream materials processing technique, because your ability to essentially control the process in a point-wise fashion lets you think of how do you design materials and design the printers and the instructions for the printers to give physical objects really unique capabilities. Like you could change the microstructure and therefore the strength of metal parts according to what loads the parts will feel in different places of the part. So you could further optimize the design. Similarly, you can design polymers to be more resistant to high temperature or more durable, or vary them from rigid to soft if you're making a prosthetic or a medical device. I ramble there, but I really feel that there's an important intersection between the design of materials for 3D printing and the execution and understanding of the 3D printing processes themselves.
No, that's wonderful. Thank you. You had mentioned specifications. You know, what role do you see standards playing?
I think standards will play a very important role. There's many organizations that are developing standards, that serve as a way for organizations in different parts of the industry, different parts of the additive supply chain or value chain to, communicate on a consistent basis, like saying this powder is certified for use in, a selective laser melting process, or this part has been tested according to, a standard for its mechanical properties. So I think standards will play a role in enabling that, communication and certification without a doubt, and also the process of, writing and discussing the standards provides a framework of thought and discourse. So even organizations that aren't developing standards know what they need to do to support the standards or when they can benefit from the standards. That's an area where there's, I think, a lot of exciting progress, yet still a long way to go.
Now, how do you see research done in academic and research and development settings flowing into industrial applications?
Sure. I think we're seeing many great examples of that already. I mean, first of all, I think that the nature of how the 3D printing industry has grown or is growing, starting with rapid prototyping being its main application, means that there are many universities around the U.S. and around the world that have had 3D printing research labs and 3D printing teaching labs for many years, right? So a lot of the foundational additive manufacturing technologies spun out of universities. In fact, two floors beneath my office, MIT's first 3D printer was built 25-30 years ago, not by me, but by my colleagues who invented the process we call binder jetting today. And if I fast forward to now, points of intersection include the following. There's a lot of fantastic entrepreneurship in 3D printing. In Boston, there's probably 1 to 2 dozen venture-funded startups working on aspects of 3D printing and software and applications of it. Second, as companies want to better understand 3D printing and also find assistance to solve hard problems, a lot of them are coming to universities. And I think that's a great opportunity for us in academia to help industry forward. We have this new center called ADAPT that we're launching very soon with our founding members, and that's a great convening point among other opportunities for us to work closely with industry and try to help paint a collective vision of the future and develop a knowledge understanding to solve some of the hard research problems that we state and they bring to us. And my last point is not about research, but once again by about education. I think by sharing the educational materials we develop in universities with industry and also collaboration among us all, we can help educate the engineering workforce faster. And if you think of today's students, right, the ones who are in my class this semester as being sort of really on the cutting edge, we also need to think about the practicing engineering workforce of all levels of seniority and expertise and a curriculum that is scalable to such large numbers of people and also embraces the fundamentals, the design rules and the process physics and the stuff that you really need to grasp to go forward and make something work.
Now, how can we support that? You know, how can we help increase awareness and create education and training opportunities in that arena?
Yeah, I think we need to grow communities of professionals who are, you know, living, breathing, doing, and advancing additive manufacturing and the related infrastructure. And, you know, we also need high quality, you know, learning materials from the theory all the way through the practice and from the deep fundamentals all the way to, you know, design and economics and operations. And, you know, one example is we at MIT over the past year have developed an online professional curriculum for additive manufacturing that we offer online. It's entirely an online program, and we're offering it for the second time now, and we've enrolled about 2,000 professionals from around the world who are making their way through the online materials, which is videos and written materials and interactive graphics and case studies, and also the use of advanced CAD and generative design software. And that's been a really fantastic experience for me to develop the course, lead the development of the course, and teach a lot of it, as well as to think of additive in the industrial context, in the context of engineering and economics, as well as the process fundamentals. And I think, you know, we're really also at the early stages of our efforts there in using the course as a foundation to grow a broader program and build our own community of alumni, and through our ADAPT Center also our industry partners, and I hope that when you get people in touch with each other and they get to know each other, you know, they also create new things. So it's you want to create kind of a multiplication factor upon that in terms of the actual impact as people learn and do things themselves.
Well, to that end, is there somewhere they can go? Is there a website where they can get more information to engage with you and ADAPT?
Yes. Thanks for asking. So the ADAPT website is adapt.mit.edu, ADAPT. And the course, the online course I mentioned, is called Additive Manufacturing for Innovative Design and Production. And the website with information about that course is additivemanufacturing.mit.edu.
All right, great. Now, looking towards the future, what do you predict the future will hold for 3D printing? Are there emerging projects or technologies, applications that have you particularly excited?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll give a general answer and then maybe some specific answers. First, I think 3D printing as a mass production technique is coming. And that's not to say that, you know, it's going to replace machining or casting or injection molding. But when you reflect upon what I said about value and about, you know, reshaping the product life cycle, I think it will come faster and be more influential than maybe some of us would expect now. And in terms of specific technologies, we're going to see continued advancements in metal 3D printing in the next few years. You know, well-established processes are going to get better and sort of more integrated. There's really exciting work on the integration of selective laser melting, for instance, with automated post-processing and part inspection. We're also kind of seeing a revolution in powder metallurgy-based techniques, one of them being binder jetting, which, due to the nature of the process and the materials that can be used, can produce mass quantities of parts at significantly lower cost. And my knowledge of that and my perspective is also shaped by my involvement with a local startup called Desktop Metal that's developing powder metallurgy-based additive manufacturing techniques, including a production process. I think, you know, development of specialized materials, you know, a lot of traditional alloys can be 3D printed, which is great. That's how you leverage part of metallurgy to reduce the cost. But also there's opportunity to develop, you know, new formulations, new alloys to, you know, enhance strength or make certain materials that are difficult to 3D printable, and particular materials innovations for medical devices. I also think that software is going to play an increasingly important role. Every part of a commercial product, right, is designed using CAD these days. But the tools that we use to really explore the design space of 3D printing and also incorporate, you know, the manufacturing constraints that do exist with 3D printing, those tools are still at an early stage, and a lot of effort is going into that, you know, academically and commercially, and I think we'll see a lot of changes in how we the tools that we use to design parts for 3D printing. And in a limit, you know, as most engineers like myself, you know, when I think of designing a part, you know, if I say take a simple example of a mechanical bracket, right, I think of still, right, coming up with a mental image of the part and then creating the part surfaces and features in CAD with, you know, straight faces and defining depths and angles and so on. Whereas, you know, additively, there's a lot more design space I can explore. And, you know, if the computer told me what geometry I wanted to make and I had to draw a CAD model of it, I probably couldn't because it would be so organic and complicated. So what I'm trying to say in a roundabout way is the design tools of the future will actually grow the part for us, grow the geometry. But it's not that the human is out of the loop. We need to interact with the computer, with the design tool to describe the problem, describe the design constraints. Where does the part start? Where does the part end? What load does it take? What experiences could it go through? And we'll have better designs as a result of learning how to use and interact with the design tools that are being created these days.
That's fantastic. You know, it's certainly an exciting time and people are innovating with additive manufacturing, but it sounds like we're just scratching the surface.
Yeah, I totally agree. And to me, there's certain developments in my mind, industrialization, you know, a new type of design software, advanced materials. But the powerful thing that's also happening is as more people are able to access the technology, understand it, we can unlock creativity in a way that we weren't able to unlock before. Because when you get down to how manufacturing is done today, there's a lot of constraints in terms of, you know, what the part can look like, how complex it can be, how many you need to make to be able to turn a profit. And the fundamental attributes of additive let us remove a lot of those constraints. So I actually think as it spreads not only through the engineering workforce, but through other fields, materials and chemistry and biology and architecture, we will imagine creative products and business models that are beyond our imagination now. In other words, we don't, you know, you can never predict the future. We don't truly know what the future of additive will look like. But that's not a reason to be apprehensive. That's a reason, in my opinion, to be even more excited.
Perfect. Well, thank you for your time and valuable insights, Dr. Hart.
Thank you.
Sure. And thank you for listening in on this SAE International podcast. Join us again as we continue to bring you informative podcasts on various topics and technologies. And be sure to visit SAE.org, SAE Mobilis, and the SAE International Advanced Manufacturing Knowledge Hub for technical papers, books, webinars, and much more on additive manufacturing. Until next time, thank you.